1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A dramatic rescue from the roof of the county hospital in Irwin, Tennessee. Patients and staffers were stranded as floodwaters were rising fast from what was Tropical Storm Helene. It took several trips and five helicopters, says Irwin Town Alderman Mike Baker.
We had three from Tennessee and two from Virginia that came and airlifted everybody off. And all of that has happened within the last hour.
The storm leaves over 4 million power outages and at least 40 deaths. No word yet of today's big bombing by Israeli military planes hit their intended target in Beirut, a bunker housing Lebanon's leader of Hezbollah militants. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has pleaded not guilty to federal bribery charges and other counts. In Arizona, at the U.S.-Mexico border, Vice President Kamala Harris talking with Border Patrol officers and expected to call for tighter asylum restrictions. Ukrainian President Zelensky met with Donald Trump today. This is ABC News. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was in court today to enter a not guilty plea in a five-count indictment that accuses him of accepting more than $100,000 in improper benefits. ABC's Aaron Katursky at the courthouse.
He had been processed as a criminal defendant, fingerprinted and photographed. He didn't seem to even know where to sit. He approached his defense attorney, Alex Spiro, pointed to the chair next to him as if to say, like, here. And then he sat down, kept his expression turned toward the bench. And it was a stern expression, but you could see his eyes alert and sort of fluttering about.
The European Union has fined social media giant Meta more than $100 million over a password security lapse. The fine stems from an investigation after Meta notified authorities that some passwords had been stored internally as unencrypted plain text and accessible to employees. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A downsized Trump rally in southwest Wisconsin. The Republican nominee for president wanted to campaign outdoors Saturday at the Prairie du Chien Airport. But the rally got moved to an indoor performing arts center that seats 650. It's because several Secret Service agents were providing security at the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. The disgraced former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is fired again, this time from his teaching job. Jimmy Kuska has the latest on Joe Gao.
Gao was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW-La Crosse panel recommended removing Gao from his faculty position. The Board of Regents listened to 45 minutes of discussion before making the decision in closed session. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. Wisconsin football is heading west today to take on USC tomorrow. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell said long trips present challenges, but doesn't expect it to be an issue on Saturday.
Traveling to the West Coast means Friday morning is going to come really quick, and we got to get in here. The guys got to, you know, get here and get ready to roll. And so that's different. But is it completely different? No. I mean, if you were going to the East Coast, it would still be early. It just maybe it wouldn't be as early.
The game at USC starts at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. Wisconsin returns home next week to play Purdue at 11 a.m. And on Sunday, it's the border battle. The Green Bay Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff is at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Koska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. And upper 70s to around 80 with sun Sunday and Monday. Then much cooler. Highs fall back to the low 60s on Tuesday and upper 60s for Wednesday. Right now it's 70 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. That's my colonized name. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by NACD's Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Program. You can join them this weekend for a Phillips Farms bike tour in South Minneapolis on Saturday, September 28th, from noon to 4 p.m. to learn about locally grown foods and share a meal. Learn more and sign up for this free event at NACD.org/events.
Hey, everyone. Happy Friday. It's Haley Cherry here, producer. Starting off the show with you on Fun Friday here on Native Roots Radio. Thank you, a big Pina Gigi, for tuning in with us this evening or whenever you're listening to this. We always have Native Roots Radio in podcasted version, so if you ever miss an episode, check us out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's lineup, we're going to hear from Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, as we do usually every Friday. We're very thankful for Mary's conversation and contribution that she brings to our show. She's been on really ever since Robert started the show about 8 years ago now. And we appreciate Mary and all that she does. I don't think it's mentioned every week, but Mary is of Standing Rock Sioux descent. We also are going to be hearing from an Australian who is currently living in the Minneapolis area. She's here on some research, but Robert did a very cool, interesting conversation with Dr. Bon Mott. As I mentioned, she is from Australia. I think the accent is really cool. It's very intriguing to listen to, but also the research that they're studying is important. And I'm interested in learning more about how it relates to Indigenous communities and kind of our beliefs and different stories that have been passed down. So stay tuned for that. We're going to hear from Dr. Bon Mott in segment three. And then also hearing from Wendy Pilot, U.S. Humane Policy Leader with the United States Humane Society, because it's Fun Friday. So we have a Fun Friday, or Fun Fact Friday, Sacred Animals segment from Wendy. In the live read at the beginning of the segment, I had mentioned that NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, and Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Program that they have, we'll be doing a bike tour around South Minneapolis's urban farms. I believe the bike tour will be stopping at four different farms. You're going to learn about the food that's grown there, local indigenous native food. And then you're going to share a healthy meal at the end with community. So that sounds really fun. That's Saturday. Another thing going on Saturday, tomorrow, September 28th, there is a native art market, and I'm pretty sure I got to go check this one out. This is in Eagan, and it's a public event by Caponi Art Park. This will be from 12 to 4 p.m. Eagan. That address is 1220 Diffley, D-I-F-F-L-E-Y, Road in Eagan, Minnesota. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of indigenous native vendors selling beautiful crafted items, as well as local indigenous food trucks. And I think there's also going to be a plant walk. So also very educational if you want to bring your young ones to that, or your elders. That would be a fun thing to do. Also this weekend, I know on Sunday is the Kiwi Strong, which is Ojibwe, I believe the Native American woman triathlon at Bede Makoska. And I believe I said that correct today. So, but before I run out of time here in this segment, I want to get started with Mary Kunish's first half of her update. So here is Mary.
Hamataki Ape, State Senator Mary Kunish here, coming to you from beautiful downtown Minneapolis. I'm here because I'm hosting, as the chair of the National Caucus of Native American State Legislators, I'm hosting a conference with elected legislators from across the country. And I'm really excited to be able to do this and bring all these folks together into one place. The National Caucus of Native American Legislators works hard to promote a really good understanding of the state and tribal issues between states and across the nation that really have an effect on our people, whether they're on the reservations or in the urban settings. There are 91 elected legislators in the United States, which is not really all that much. So I hope all of you are thinking perhaps maybe one day that you would join us. But we have 91 members from 21 different states. So that means there are less than half of our states in the United States have a Native legislator. And I think we really need to work hard to make sure that that changes for the positive. And so what we do within this caucus is we come together to discuss the issues at hand. We want to increase awareness of the diverse Native American cultures. We want to be able to support state and tribal communication. You know, Minnesota has that nation-to-nation relationship with our tribes, which is really unique. It's not like that in all of the states. And then what is really great is that NCSL, the National Council of State Legislators, is able to provide us legislators with research and training and educational services across the board. And so this conference is to do just that. And as I said, I'm the chair of this caucus, and my vice chair is Representative Sean Bordeaux from South Dakota. Representative A.J. Pittenham from Oklahoma is our secretary. Representative Micah Aiu from Hawaii is our treasurer, and our peacekeeper is Representative Ken Luttrell from Oklahoma. And so we'll be coming together over this weekend in downtown Minneapolis, as I said, and discussing some things that are really, you know, high on the needs of our communities, such as housing insecurity. And what I'm really excited is to really speak to that through a Native lens. And of course, we always and will probably continue to address and talk about how we can protect our Native women. And we're going to have Ruth Buffalo, our very special Ruth Buffalo, who is now the Chief Executive Officer at the Minnesota Indians Women's Resource Center, join us and talk about the good work that she's doing. And then Deanna Bolo from the MMIR office is going to also join us. There's so many things that affect the economic development of tribes across the United States. Every single one of our reservations, our tribes, our native communities, whether they're urban, suburban, rural, on the reservation, all have struggles with building that economic development that has been withheld from us, those opportunities withheld from us for so long. And so we'll be talking a little bit about elevating Native economic development. And then, gosh, what else are we going to be doing? We're going to go visit the Native American Community Center. I don't know if you've been there. It's just absolutely beautiful. And then meet with NACDI and visit All My Relations Art Gallery. Talking about elevating political leadership, just so many good things that we're going to come together and talk about. And hopefully we'll all be able to go back to our communities and our constituents that we represent and bring some fresh ideas and thoughts to the process of governing and legislating. So that's where I am right now, and I'll be back in just a little bit.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Attention event planners and festival organizers. This is Frank Brown from Minuteman Press Uptown, your union print shop partner for your next event. We're here to check items off your list and make your event the talk of the town. From stunning banners and eye-catching signage to programs, tickets, and name badges, we print everything. Get promotional products at prices that let you load up on merch and fill those swag bags. Make your event unforgettable with Minuteman Uptown. Visit us at mpuptown.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned JF's Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake. Hey, thanks for tuning back into Native Roots Radio. We're going to finish our weekly update from Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish.
Hello, State Senator Kunish, back again. I would like to just, first of all, remind everybody that September 30th is a very important day in that it is the National Day of Remembrance for U.S. Indian boarding schools. I think there is hardly a one of us that hasn't in some way been traumatically or negatively impacted by the federal Indian boarding school policies that that have really torn and caused ongoing trauma to our Indigenous communities. We have the Indian Boarding School Healing Commission that is working to undo some of the harm. They are working hard to provide tribal nations in support of truth and healing. and advocate for schools to include truth about our boarding schools in the curriculum. If you go to boardingschoolhealing.org, you'll find all kinds of really important resources around ways to educate and advocate for awareness and understanding of the horror of Indian boarding schools. And so September 30th, that's this next Monday, is the National Day of Remembrance for the U.S. Indian Boarding Schools. And it is a day that we show solidarity by wearing orange. And so I hope that you're able to find an orange item in your closet to wear. And if people ask you, why are you wearing orange? It's not for Halloween. It is because of the horrors of the Indian boarding schools. And so, as I said, I know that many of us have family stories and history that go all the way back to those days of the boarding schools. I know my grandfather's brother actually was sent from Standing Rock to Carlisle, where he made many attempts to run back to home. And I think he made it back once and was sent back to Carlisle. And it wasn't until after he was hopping trains to get back to home, to South Dakota, that he fell and had a leg cut off. And that's when they finally let him go home. And so to all of the families that are still here and our ancestors and relatives that have gone before us who have really suffered from the boarding school, our thoughts and our prayers go out to you. And maybe every one of us can put down a little tobacco on September 30th and smudge in remembrance of that terrible, terrible period in our U.S. history. But I also want to let you know about something else that is happening on September 30th that has a huge impact on our community. And that is that there will be a Minnesota Court of Appeals hearing in the Supreme Court chamber, excuse me, at the Minnesota Capitol on Monday. There is a hearing scheduled for 9 a.m. I believe there will be a rally to acknowledge this case. That starts at 8 o'clock on the steps of the Capitol. And this hearing, I don't think we're done with challenges to ICWA or here in Indian Child Welfare Act or MIFPA, the Minnesota Indian Family Prevention Act. MIFPA is Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. Sorry about that. And again, this hearing is based on the fact that there are those that would say that ICWA racially discriminates against non-Native foster parents or adoptees. They're going to hear a case about a set of twins from Red Lake who went to a non-Native foster care after they were born for about 18 months, and when a family member was ready and able to return those children to the community, they brought them back to that family, and they have been thriving in that community, their community of Red Lake, and with their family members all around them. And so this case is brought forward by a couple who cared for those children for about 18 months. And, you know, we always want to be thankful for people that are looking out for children, whether they're our kids or anybody's kids. But this couple cared for the kids for 18 months. And when the relative was ready, they were returned. And as a result, they are bringing up a case to return those two back to them, even though they have been thriving in their relatives' care. And it brings back, it's it reeks of the Bracken case that was settled this past or a year ago, where attorney Fidler brought in the fact that ICWA is actually not in the best interest of the children, and has worked hard to undermine the Indian Child Welfare Act. And of course, we worked really hard these last 2 years to improve and fortify MIFPA, the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. There was a consortium of lawyers and professionals and experts and tribal members that spent, let's see, it's 2024, 23, 22, the summer of 22, working on going through the entire MIFPA statute and looking for ways to bring it up to date, support it, and fortify it. And so for the last 2 years, I carried legislation that will make sure that MIFPA is carried out to the best that we can. And I think it has made a difference, especially at the county level. I was at a meeting this past week with county officials on the inefficiency of some of the systems that we have in place and how outdated they are. But what I really came away from that was that the counties are working really hard to make sure that ICWA is upheld in the best way. I think for a long time, even though it was a federal mandate and a state mandate, counties just didn't know how to implement it in the best way. And what I was really heartened to see and hear is how these county folks, who really do have the best interest of families and children in mind, are working better and better with the tribes. And that absolutely has to happen, because if there is a child that comes into the county purview that is Native, the first thing they need to do is reach out and let the tribes know that. And then the tribes also have to build that relationship with the county so that they can work together to bring those kids back into the tribal community with relatives. And so this case that is happening here on Monday is a really, really important case. And of course, the premise is that ICWA is race-based, and that we are being prejudicial towards non-Native foster care. But we have to remind everybody, and we have to educate folks, that the Indian Child Welfare Act is not race-based. It is based on the political status of Native Americans and their tribes. And so it's not a race issue. It's not so much a you know, if you say cultural, but it is the political status of Native Americans and their tribes. And that was established in the Constitution through Congress, in the statutes, and through the treaties. And so it's just important to remember that the Supreme Court affirmed the political status of Native Americans for over these 200 years. The Supreme Court ruled that federal legislation regarding Indian tribes is not based on impermissible racial classifications, and that it's important that we defend ICWA because there's an agreement between the U.S. and tribal governments, and sovereign nations have the most significant interest in their citizens. So that's what's happening with me. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Glorious weather out there.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A dramatic rescue from the roof of the county hospital in Irwin, Tennessee. Patients and staffers were stranded as floodwaters were rising fast from what was Tropical Storm Helene. It took several trips and five helicopters, says Irwin Town Alderman Mike Baker.
We had three from Tennessee and two from Virginia that came and airlifted everybody off. And all of that has happened within the last hour.
The storm leaves over 4 million power outages and at least 40 deaths. No word yet if today's big bombing by Israeli military planes hit their intended target in Beirut, a bunker housing Lebanon's leader of Hezbollah militants. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has pleaded not guilty to federal bribery charges and other counts. In Arizona, at the U.S.-Mexico border, Vice President Kamala Harris talking with Border Patrol officers and expected to call for tighter asylum restrictions. Ukrainian President Zelensky met with Donald Trump today. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Homebuyers in Wisconsin are eager for mortgage rates to come down. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Recently, the U.S. Federal Reserve lowered interest rates, but that's not the same as mortgage rates. Kristen Ambos of Point Mortgage in Appleton.
It's a direct indicator on the rates that the banks are borrowing at. So that's coming down. But remember, the bank is going to add 2 to 3% so that they can make money.
Ambo said there will be competitive pressure for mortgage rates to come down. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin is remembering one of the greatest high school basketball players the state ever produced. Joe Wolf died on Thursday. He led Kohler High School to 3 state titles, then was teammates with Michael Jordan at North Carolina. He played 12 years in the NBA, including on the Milwaukee Bucks. Wolf was 59. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Wisconsin native Mark Ruffalo took home a Best Documentary Emmy for his film Lakota Nation versus the United States. It all went down at the 45th Annual News and Documentary Emmy Awards last Thursday in New York City. The documentary details the seizure in 1876 of Black Hills and chronicles the Lakota tribe's fight to reclaim the land. Freddie Prinze Jr. has signed on for another installment of I Know What You Did Last Summer. This will be the fourth film in the franchise. Jennifer Love Hewitt is in talks but has not signed on to the project yet. This will be the third film of the franchise for Prinze. Another installment of the franchise had different actors and went right to video in 2006. Producers say they are hoping to have the film in theaters in the summer of 2025. If the original cast gets much older, the next installment can be called I Totally Forgot What Happened That One Summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. And upper 70s to around 80 with sun Sunday and Monday. Then much cooler. Highs fall back to the low 60s on Tuesday and upper 60s for Wednesday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training, plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Oaf for the big game. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and here we go. I have a special guest on tonight for one segment. Doctor, do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure, Robert. My name is Dr. Bon Mott, and I'm an artist, curator, researcher, consultant, and I'm here on Turtle Island in Minnesota researching the origins of lightning.
Yeah, you know, I've seen your video, and it's amazing. My native name is Distant Thunder, and so it really interests me in your work, and I'm really, really happy to have you on and talk a little bit about that. But also, before we get into that, I want to make sure that we talk about an event that's coming up real soon. Can we do that first?
Sure. So every year, well, twice a year, the St. Paul Artist Lofts have an art crawl. And there's one coming up, which is on the 4th to the 6th of October. And I will be doing a performance there Friday night and Saturday night. And I've got an installation and I'll be doing an artist talk. And it's in the Great Northern Warehouse Collective at 308 Prince Street. And I'm in 421. So yeah, everyone that comes will have access to the buildings. And but if you want to come and see a performance, I'll be performing at 9 p.m. On the 4th and the 5th of October.
I love the warehouse, and that's one of the first artist lofts down in St. Paul, and I remember that very well when they got that going. And it's really exciting that it's still happening and still doing what it's supposed to do, have artists like yourself living there. And yeah, though that's exciting, the art crawl. But let's get talking a little bit about some lightning here, because that really not only your artistry, but also what you have to say about lightning. Give our listeners a little listening to what you're doing and the science of lightning.
Well, firstly, you know, even discussing the Northern Lofts and that I'm here in Minnesota, I need to acknowledge that I'm on stolen land, and that's really important, especially mm-hmm. on an Indigenous-led radio station. So thank you for having me. It's huge for me, for my career, to be interviewed by a Native American person while here. So in 2018, I did a performance in Minnesota, and I learned about the Thunder Beings there. I started learning about the Thunder Beings. And it's there that I learned that lightning comes from the cosmos. And I always knew that lightning, you know, its origins seem to have come from a cloud, and that's what science generally teaches us. But through people generously sharing about the Thunder Beings, I went on a research. I began to research the origins of lightning for 6 years, and coming up to the concept of lightning originating from dying stars or supernova. But this all started from a quote from the former lead singer of AC/DC, Bon Scott, who I did my doctorate about.
Cool. Very cool. Let's hear that.
So Bon Scott was asked if he was the AC or the DC. So he died in 1980. And my art practice is performing as his ghost, respectfully. I've discussed this with his friends and family to get approval. And one of the areas that I really like to acknowledge Bon Scott is through his songwriting. He was a trickster. And I like to acknowledge that he was actually singing about the marginalized experience, and he was a complex person. And he went to jail when he was 15 and made friends with Aboriginal people there that he retained friendship with for the rest of his life. And so, yeah, he was asked if he was the AC or the DC, and he said he was neither. He was the lightning in the middle.
Cool.
And I thought, for someone to say that, they've got to be very intelligent. He's just not, you know. So that's what the title of my doctorate is, and that's why I'm here in Minnesota. And I've got Australian government funding for this project, and I'm being mentored by a collaborator, Simon Rose, who's a in Australia, we say, you know, he's a proud Aboriginal man from Queensland. So he's making sure I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything respectfully.
That's awesome. And doctor, you are from Australia, I do believe, right? With your accent there. Oh, wow.
Well, I just like the lightning in the middle, I'm a little bit in the middle. I was actually born in California and moved to the land so-called Australia when I was 6 years old. So I've lived in Australia most of my life.
Cool.
And I do have to also acknowledge the traditional custodians of the ancient land, so-called Australia, also, because this is where I've done the bulk of my research. The ancient land there is an incredible place for anyone that can get there.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways I'm inspired as well. I'm hoping to, you know, introduce people to each other, you know, create a conduit between, you know, in Australia, we don't raise, I mean, you guys say Native American, Indigenous Australians say more like, you know, Indigenous mob or Indige mob.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, talk a little bit more about the lightning in the clouds, because that really, really interests me.
Right. So, and it doesn't surprise me that it interests you, because in Minnesota, the distant thunder is like something I've never heard before. I've never heard that in Australia. And I don't know really what the science is behind that, apart from maybe there's not mountains around. We can hear thunder from greater distances. But so each lightning strike produces 30 million volts of electricity. And, you know, scientists were trying to figure out why or how that amount of electricity can come from a cloud. I mean, we know that the clouds are charged, and we know that there's, you know, ice particles, and you know, we know there's a charge on Earth. We know all of that, but I guess the developing theory is that when a star dies, it's a huge event. I mean, you can imagine a lot of stars are bigger than our sun, and they release all, you know, of the material from its core, including iron, including all the elements and minerals we have on Earth. Coming from the dying star are cosmic rays, and they're highly charged particles that travel almost at the speed of light. And they take around about a million years to reach our ozone layer. And when they reach our ozone layer, they break apart into a runaway breakdown. And when they break apart, they look like, I guess, lungs or tree branches. And then those microscopic particles connect to ice particles in clouds, which they have to be at least 3 inches long. And that creates a short circuit, and that's the lightning that we see, mm-hmm. Which also the tip of the lightning is extremely hot and is the only thing that can split apart nitrogen to form with oxygen to form nitrates, and which is called the nitrogen fixation cycle. And science knows all of this in disparate parts, but where I'm trying to, you know, create positive change is through acknowledging that Indigenous, you know, science and knowledge is extremely complex and woven. It's so layered. And through researching the origins of lightning to when it arrives on Earth, it's acknowledging that, you know, why are we separating knowledges? Why don't they all come together? And that way we can see that, that we all come from the stars.
Right. No, that's really cool because, you know, a lot of Native American and I'm sure Aboriginal and other cultures talk about that we're star people and that we don't. And Tron Trudeau always said that we come from earth and stars.
And exactly. That's one of the reasons why I'm researching this so much. I'm wanting to describe it from the perspective of lightning.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we got about a minute left. Let's talk real quick again about the art crawl and get people down there to see your installation one more time. What's the date? And it's the Northern Warehouse Artist Collective.
Right. So the
St. Paul.
Exactly. So the art crawl is running from Friday the 4th till Sunday the 6th. And you can come anytime to my loft because I'll have an installation set up, which you can come and see. But also I'll be doing a performance at 9 p.m. on Friday and 9 p.m. Saturday. It'll just be a short performance. It's just to the song Jailbreak, written by Bon Scott.
Cool.
And then on Sunday, I'm going to be doing an artist talk at 5 p.m. So I'll be talking more about the science of lightning there.
Doctor, thanks so much for being on. I'd like to get you back on again and talk deeper about the other things you do and get deep into this. I really appreciate you taking time out and talking to our audience about this fascinating theory, which I believe is true.
Thank you so much, Robert.
All right, have a great day. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short message.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
The Met Council is the governing planning agency for the Twin Cities metro region. One of our biggest responsibilities is to create a long-range plan every decade that imagines the best future for all of us. We need your help. We want to know your thoughts on the latest plan. We're calling it Imagine 2050. We'll use it as a guide to shape public policy and drive growth over the next 30 years. It'll help us improve the everyday essential services we provide, including transportation, housing, water resources, and parks and trails, with input from the 7 counties and 181 cities and townships in the region. But we're still missing the most important piece, and that's you. Visit engage.metrocouncil.org to learn more about Imagine 2050 and share your own thoughts and hopes for the Twin Cities region. Let's imagine a better, brighter future together. engage.metrocouncil.org. That's engage.metrocouncil.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and geez, I've learned so much from her over the last 8 years of being a co-founder here of Native Roots Radio. Welcome, as always, Wendy.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. We're here in Long Beach, New York. And it got me thinking about some things that I want to talk about, specifically since we're so close to the ocean. I wanted to talk about sharks.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Everyone, don't pay attention. We do have sharks and watchdogs watching our house. So just want to let everyone know when we're out here in Long Beach.
We always have people at our house. Anyway, so listen to this, Robert. Although sharks are portrayed by the media as fearsome, bloody killers, the most recent five-year global average of shark attacks on humans is 72 annually. As a result, only around 5 people are killed by sharks a year. So that's the latest. 5 sharks per year. But guess how many people deer kill? Okay. Deer kill 130 people annually.
What? Is there? I guess I'm not a deer hunter, so maybe the deers are attacking the deer hunter.
Okay, this list that I have doesn't actually tell you how the human is killed by these animals, but this is it. Sharks kill 5 people annually. Deer kill 130 people annually. Cows kill 22 people annually. Jellyfish kill 40 people annually. Ants kill 30 people annually.
I know. We know some killer ants that are I'm related to.
Horses kill 20 people annually. Hippopotamuses.
I didn't even know how to say that.
Hippopotamuses kill 2,900 people annually.
What?
Yes. Is that crazy? So it really just got me thinking about that. And here's the thing. How many sharks are killed each year that we kill, humans? Humans kill an estimated 100 million sharks every year. That's an average of almost 274,000 sharks every day, over 11,000 sharks every hour, and around 3 sharks every second. One way people kill sharks is through shark finning. So they hunt the sharks, they just cut up their fins, they throw the alive shark back in the ocean to drown.
It's like a Chinese delicatessen.
Yes, they take the fin and they make fish shark fin soup out of it, which is supposed to, you know, have some medical whatever in their minds. They have some type of medical or aphrodisiac or something in their mind.
Yeah. Many.
But do you want to know the thing on Earth that kills the most humans per year?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea?
Would it be humans?
That's a really good guess. Mosquitoes.
Oh.
Mosquitoes cause more human suffering than any other organism. Over 1 million people worldwide die from mosquito-borne diseases every year. Isn't that something?
I believe that when you think about it, but I'm still like upset about all these sharks being killed.
I know. So, I mean, they have like Shark Week on TV, you know, specials. I've never watched it, but people are really afraid of sharks, and it really is the other way around.
It's almost like the big bad wolf thing with our wolves.
It is. And like this article said, they're portrayed, right? Mm-hmm. They're portrayed by the media and movies as fearsome and bloody killers. But honestly, you don't want to see anybody die in a year, but only 5 people a year die. I mean, geez, a cow kills 22 people.
They probably deserve it, too.
Probably, right? Because cows are very gentle.
Right.
Unless they do, like, they're people provoked. Do cow tipping.
Oh, yeah.
Do you hear about that?
Oh, yeah. People that's the old thing where you get drunk and
you knock over cows.
And then they can't get up.
They can't get up. Well, that's just a terrible thing anyway. I had no idea about hippopotamuses either. 2,900 people annually. And ants, I could see that. But mosquitoes, that's it. That's our... And we have to stop killing all these sharks. I mean, they're part of the ecosystem in the ocean, right? They need to, like, kill other fish in order to keep the oceanic... you know, system in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know. It's too much.
It is.
Anyway, should I tell you now a couple of funny things?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I've been collecting those little memes.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a meme. This is a cat having a party at his house, and he's inviting all a bunch of other cats. And on a sign for the party, it says, party, B-Y-O-B. You know, that means, like, when we go to a party, it means bring your own booze. Mm-hmm. But this is bring your own box so that cats could sit in the box.
Oh,
so
and
cats
party.
Are at the party, and they're all sitting in a box.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
They could be in a bag, too, but I get it.
Here's a kangaroo with a baby kangaroo in the pouch, and the baby says, there's plenty of room in here for a puppy. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Here's one. I don't really like to sing these, but I will. Here's a cat singing, playing the piano and singing at a concert. And he's singing, when I find myself in times of trouble, like when I scratch a brand new chair, I think of words of wisdom. I don't care.
God.
I know, that was pretty bad. I should have practiced that one. Yeah. I don't have a good singing voice at all, but I do sing way too much for someone who can't sing. I'll just say that.
Mm.
All right. Small dog support group. Small dog support group.
Yeah, I've seen this one.
All right. Maybe I've said this one. Okay.
No,
one,
I've seen it.
One dog says, I'm not a yappy dog. The other dog says, we can be yappy, but it's not who we are. And then another dog says, this harness I'm wearing was made for a cat. And then the last dog says, I'm so sorry, Spencer. Isn't that cute? Oh, here's one. Speaking of sharks, here's a shark taking a picture of a human being in the ocean. And the person says, what are you doing? And the shark says, I'm taking a picture of my meal and putting it on Facebook. But we already know that it's only five humans. I mean, they do hurt people. Like, would they say 70-something people per year get hurt by sharks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just be careful swimming. Make sure, you know, you're swimming where there's a lifeguard on duty who could, you know, keep an eye out on for sharks and dangerous things. I mean, here in this month now, in October, when we go down to the beach, we're going to see jellyfish. That's the time of year that the jellyfish come. And the really dangerous one are the man of war. The tentacles get you and can really kill you.
Wow. Well, hey, thanks, Wendy. What great segment as always. How fun. Great information about the sharks. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. This has been Native Roots Radio.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we'll recap all the news that happened over the weekend. I'm sure nothing will happen. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
The John and Gordy Show.
Fido's gone missing. Oh, no.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the pets.
There have been no credible reports.
I've seen people on television.
Let me just say, this
is the people on television saying my TV. Dog was taken.
We got a text here. If Trump sees it on TV, it must be true. Sir, I checked with the chef, and they said it was 100% vegan.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.